Good morning, everyone. Numbers 25. I believe there's much we're going to be able to learn from this passage. So let's get into it. But actually, before we do, I've commented on this chapter a number of times in the last three chapters as we've seen the ministry, if we want to call it that, of Balaam, who was summoned by a king of Moab, Balak, to come and curse Israel. And he, in a short season of time, seems to follow God and honor God, this Balaam, and does not curse Israel because God would not let him. But indeed, he was a false prophet, and it's told to us in Numbers 31. I know we're in Numbers 25, but we're told in Numbers 31:16 that Balaam, the false prophet, did, in a sense, conspire against Israel and help them to commit a harlotry, so to speak, with the people of Moab. So although he didn't curse them, he conspired against them to get them to worship Baal of Peor and also to have sexual relations with the women of Moab. And sometimes when that would happen, they would then take on the gods of the people that they were associating with or sexually, you know, enjoying. And that's something God very much did not want his people to do, was to have any other gods before them. Think about, imagine if you are God for a moment. It seems almost sacrilege to do, right? But I'm trying to give us a perspective of that. God started off by, you know, having all these plagues on the Egyptian Pharaoh, you know, amazing plagues, and people would see what God could do. And then in the 10th and final plague on the Passover, he set them free and he parted the sea and he brings them into the desert and he feeds them quail and water from the rock, right? And he's done all these miracles for them. And now they're out in the desert. They're nearing the promised land, which they're going to take over. God has been providing for them. And one of the things that God clearly wants them to do is worship him and worship him alone. He's very offended, God is, when we worship other gods. And, you know, if you go back to Exodus chapter 20, the first command of the Ten Commandments, you shall have no other gods before me. God is very, very jealous about his people worshiping another god. And indeed, that's what they're doing here. Despite all that God has done for them, they're quickly, through these sexual relations with the Moab women, beginning to worship Baal. And it's really a sad thing. It's interesting, the dual mandate that Israel had. You might recall that when God began this family back with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, he said that I want to bless you so that you will be a blessing to the nations. And by the way, when you see that word, nations, that means beyond even Israel. You know, he's wanting the blessing that he puts on Abraham's family for people to see that people who follow Yahweh are blessed, and that they will then say, well, you know what, maybe I should follow the God of Abraham. You know, go to the land I will show you, he said in Genesis 12, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I'll make your name great, so that you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. That's why, again, don't curse Israel. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now, how were they to do that? They, you know, remember, people, sojourners, people who were not part of Israel, they had they could come partake of the same law, follow God. They could have offerings brought on their behalf. They could be a part of worshiping Yahweh, and he welcomed that. He welcomed them to come worship Yahweh, but he did not welcome them to come into the fold of Israel and then corrupt Israel to have them worship false gods. So this was the problem that Israel had, and it throughout its history, is they were supposed to remain pure to worshiping Yahweh, but yet they were to be a blessing to the nations around them. That was their struggle. They had a hard time being among other nations that had other gods and not being corrupted by the other nations, and instead witnessing to them, so to speak, and helping them to become worshipers of Yahweh. If they, that's something that they should have did, but they had a hard time. They had a hard time doing it. And I think this is going to be part of the lesson that we're learning today. Just to think about this for a moment as we get into Numbers 25. How do we live in the world and not become like the world? How do we be in the world and around people that might not believe and not have them lead us away from God, but have a have us lead him to, toward God? So that's what we're to do. We have that dual mandate. We are supposed to remain true to Jesus and honor him, but still be in the world and not of it. And may our relationships with the world lead them to Jesus and not lead us astray. We have the same challenge today. The other thing I want to mention, and then we're, you know, we'll get into this here, is that this is a different time in history. So when Jesus, this is Old Covenant, and when Jesus came, like, they didn't take matters into their own hands as far as like killing people that disobeyed. It was a different, we live in a different season of history now where we're trying to win people through the gospel of Jesus Christ and teach people and be an example to people. But Jesus didn't come and, you know, kill his opponents. But in this particular season of history, when something would go really awry and God was worried about if something significant is not done with Israel and with its partners, and if it's going astray where people are worshiping false gods, God took severe stances, and sometimes people lost their lives and there'd be plagues, or, you know, in the rebellion, Korah's rebellion, people got, you know, swallowed by an earthquake, so to speak. And there were very significant things that happened in the Old Testament history in order to maintain or seek to maintain the culture that God was trying to make with Israel. But it's not done like that anymore today. So we're going to see some significant, you know, retribution, so to speak, today in Numbers 25. And it is part of God and it is part of the Old Testament history, but that's not how it works in the New Covenant. Today we win people to Jesus. So while Israel remained at Shittim, remember Balaam couldn't curse Israel and they remained in Shittim outside the area of Moab, the people began to play the harlot with the daughters of Moab, for they invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods. So they're like, oh yeah, come worship Baal. And maybe they saw Balaam go up on the mountain and not curse Israel. And they're like, oh, well, Baal's for us. You know, again, it doesn't specifically say that, but it does say they started worshiping Baal. And the people ate and bowed down to their gods. And remember, I already read to you the first commandment, you shall have only one God before you. So Israel joined themselves to Baal of Peor. They're worshiping a false god. And the Lord was angry against Israel. The Lord said to Moses, take all the leaders of the people and execute them in broad daylight before the Lord. He's trying to make a massive example. You guys are violating the commandment that I've given you. You are worshiping other gods. This can't happen. Otherwise, we're going to ruin everything that I've started in, you know, making you my people and having you escape Egypt. Everything's going to be, you know, wrought if you don't stay true to worshiping me alone. So that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel if the leaders were killed. So Moses said to the judges of Israel, each of you slay his men who have joined themselves to Baal of Peor. So it doesn't appear that that happened, by the way, that they were slain. But the ones who started participating in worshiping false god, they were, you know, that was what the instruction was. Listen to what happens next. Then behold, one of the sons of Israel came and brought to his relatives a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the sons of Israel while they were weeping at the doorway of the tent of meeting. So they're weeping about what they've done wrong. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, a priest, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he arose from the midst of the congregation and took a spear in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and pierced both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman. He was, you know, with this Midianite woman, sexually immoral, and probably even had worshipped Baal with her. So Phinehas took a righteous anger stand and pierced both of them through with a spear. So then it says, so the plague on the sons of Israel was checked. Those who died by the plague were 24,000. So there was a plague as a result of them worshiping Baal, and many died. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned away my wrath from the sons of Israel, and that he was jealous with my jealousy among them. See, he's a jealous God. It says that specifically in the Bible, not only here, but other areas as well. He does not take light to us commingling or worshiping other gods. So that I did not destroy the sons of Israel in my jealousy. He wanted to, but his wrath was abided by, or appeased by, what Phinehas did. Therefore say, behold, I give him, Phinehas, my covenant of peace, and it shall be for him and his descendants after him a covenant of a perpetual priesthood, because he was jealous for his God and made atonement for the sons of Israel. Now the name of the slain man of Israel who was slain with the Midianite woman was Zimri, the son of Salu, a leader of a father's household among the Simeonites. The name of the Midianite woman who was slain was Cosbi, the daughter of Zur, who was head of the people of a father's household in Midian. So those are the two, Cosbi and Zimri. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, be hostile to the Midianites and strike them, for they have been hostile to you with their tricks, with which they have deceived you in the affair of Peor and in the affair of Cosbi, the daughter of the leader of Midian, their sister, who was slain on the day of the plague of Peor. So the Midianites are going to pay costly here, because what God is seeing is that they're a danger, because they're playing tricks on Israel and they are getting Israel to worship a false god. And God is very jealous about that and very sensitive to that, and he's not going to allow it. So, you know, Israel is supposed to be a blessing, but they won't be a blessing if they commingle other nations' gods with the one true God. And all of a sudden, what they were supposed to do and be a blessing won't be a blessing. So it's really important, do you see? This is what it comes down to. It's really important that we are not of the world, even though we are in the world. And, you know, this is a huge issue today. There are many churches and many Christians that are compromised and they're losing their witness. I mean, there are so many things. Listen, I'm not here to please people. There's no women pastors in the Bible. There should not be women lead pastors of churches. There definitely should not be homosexual pastors. There should not be churches with gay pride flags celebrating something that God clearly calls a sin. There are so many things that are happening today. There shouldn't be women elders, by the way. There's no women elders in the Bible. Now, listen, we can like it or not like it, but it doesn't matter. It's not up to us. I don't make my own rules. Anyone who might get mad at me about what I believe, take it up with God, because it's not me. I'm not making my own decisions about what's right and what's wrong. I don't make my own decisions about what's right and what's wrong. I look at God's word and what God's word has to say, and I revere it and I honor it. And these are just examples, but they're multiplied throughout the church today. And people are falling away from the one true God. They're falling away from the word of God being their revered, inspired source. And people are making up their own religion and think they have the right. They think they have the right to just deem what they want. That God, for, you know, they're lucky that right now he's not doing what Phinehas did, that he's not bringing judgment immediately right now to people who are turning away from the Lord and forsaking his ways and making their own rules. But one day there is going to be a judge. Jesus is going to come back and judge. And you know what? Be found in him and be found in his word and honor what he has taught us. And you know, what's really important is we need to have a New Testament understanding too. And you know, one of the things that kind of people are so in error of is like, if you don't understand, if a person doesn't understand that we live under a new covenant right now through Jesus, and Jesus did not do this. We don't do things in the Old Testament matter anymore. It's part of the history of the Bible, but we're not killing our enemies who worship false gods anymore. We're trying to worship, we're trying to turn them to the worship of Jesus. That's why, you know, we do podcasts like this. That's why we are witnesses. That's why we're supposed to go make disciples of all nations. We're trying to make disciples of all nations. We're not trying to kill people who worship something other than us. We're trying to win them to Jesus. So like some people could pick up the Bible and say, well, you know what? I don't want to follow God because of these things that have happened in the Old Testament. Well, God's not operating in the same way today. He's operating in a different way. And he felt that he needed to operate in this way in this season because that's what he felt he needed to do. And you know what? I'm just going to trust him. I'm going to trust in the savage world that there was back then. Things were a lot different, that God felt that in order to keep his people pure and not have the worship of multiple gods, God did what he needed to do. And that's what he did back then. And I'm going to trust him in it, but he's not asking me to kill my opponents now. He's asking me to love my enemies. He's asking me to pray for those who persecute me. And he's asking me to be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And he's asking me to go make disciples of all nations. And that's what we're here to do. And that's why we're reading through the Bible. That's why we're doing a podcast. That's why we try to reach people. And you know, love your neighbor as yourself. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to win people to Jesus Christ. But in our winning of people to Jesus, may we not become like the world. May we help the people around us embrace and become more like our Lord and Savior Jesus. I hope this ministered to you today and even challenge you today to be a witness for Jesus in this world that desperately needs light. God bless you all.